Welcome back, everyone, to the Star City Murders podcast. This is a very special live release day podcast. That's right, baby. We're skipping over some of the older ones that we did as we've been releasing them. And we're jumping to episode, technically, this is episode 9, but it's coming out on the free feed before some other episodes. And that's because today is a very important day. It's Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. And you can go out and buy the Star City Murders. That's right. Amazon, Apple, whatever. We'll have it all in the show notes. It's available now for you to watch and enjoy. We're so excited. And of course, with me is actor and producer Heath Sentazzo, as well as executive producer Jeff Chili Mertz. We're going to talk about distribution, how it happened. We're going to talk about all this exciting stuff. And basically, we're all just having a beer and celebrating that we made it here, baby. Solo, how you doing, baby? How you feeling?
Ah, thanks, Axel. That was a beautiful intro, I do have to say. Might have been the best intro you've done in like 9 years.
Woo!
Like, seriously.
Thanks.
Like, yeah, I remember that. That last intro, that was great 9 years ago. But no, seriously, we're excited.
Was that on Alcatraz Pod?
Yeah, that might have been Alcatraz Podcast. Oh, boy. But, you know, the Star City Murders is out officially today. And it actually dropped on Amazon and Apple on the West Coast at 9 p.m. So it was like, oh, my gosh, we're getting a little early. Midnight on the East Coast. So no, it's been a long road, as you know, everyone's hearing through listening to the podcast and who know me or know anyone associated with the film, that, you know, we had a pandemic. We didn't know quite what we were doing, when we were going to shoot. And then just the whole process, we shot in 2021 and then we were in post-production for a couple of years, and then had our cast and crew premiere, and that was the last podcast you'll hear of the old ones, is we talk about the premiere and our search for distribution. And tonight we're going to continue because that podcast was in 2023. So this is the first pod we've done since launching the podcast to the public, because again, it was originally a Kickstarter podcast. So it's going to be exciting to go back through memory lane and how Gravitas Ventures came into our life and how this all happened. So I'm very excited, very thankful. I got a lot of people contacting me who bought the film and is watching. I mean, I had one of my friends from high school. She texted me and was like, I'm watching it now. Oh, got to pause, got to put the kids to bed. But I'm watching, you know, it's really, really fun and really just so nice for all the support. So I'm excited, baby, to talk this evening.
It is really awesome. It's been something to behold. Jeff, how you feeling? Executive producer? The day has come.
Axel.
When this first started, you said, you better make a fucking movie, Solo. And it actually happened.
That's right. We said a few years ago, this was going to happen, you know, whatever it took. And it was a extremely exciting and roller coaster journey. And, I can't be more pleased with the way it turned out and the bonds we've made with the crew and the cast and all the external people, and you, Axel, and the DVR Podcast Network for supporting us through all the years. It's just been an amazing ride, and I can't believe it's finally here. I mean, 4 years, but geez, it is.
Well, I have to say, I was saying to my wife today, I was going back far back, Solo, to when you originally told me about your idea for the Killer Rats of Burbank. Wasn't that what it was called?
Yeah, in Burbank.
Killer Rats. And
not
that,
of.
And I think that was over a decade ago. I think originally when you first said that to me, I was living in North Carolina, like in Durham. That was like way back.
So well, it took. I had the idea because we were doing Lost podcasting. My window broke, and a rat somehow snuck into my apartment and surprised me. I was in the kitchen. I was watching a movie. It's all dark, and I turn on the light, and this freaking black rat is staring at me in my kitchen. And I'm like, what the? And, you know, I told my landlord, and I guess in the attic there were some rats or whatever. And one, you know, my window like fell down. And so it was this big space near a tree and a rat came in. So I was like, man, I got to make a movie called Killer Rats in Burbank. But I didn't write that until, I guess it was the end of 2017. I think I wrote my first draft, or 2018. I think probably 2017, 2018. So that's originally what we were going to make. And then through everything, we decided to abandon that idea. It was going to be a little more money than I thought, because I didn't want it to be just cheesy. But, you know, everyone knows the story. Met Giles, and we decided to go more of a serial killer thriller. And I'm happy we did, because I'm very proud of this film, and I'm glad we went that route, because I still had the old film school thing where you do a film in film school, and if it's not a comedy, and if you do a straight drama, it's a tough audience when you have your premiere at college, a comedy plays well because people want to laugh at stuff. A serious one, when you're using student actors, college students don't quite take it in as well as a comedy. So I had that same mindset of I got to do a comedy. I got to do a Sharknado craziness. Yeah. And I still like that script, actually.
I do too.
I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. So who knows? Maybe because a lot of the characters from that are the Frank Brody, Detective Frank Brody, McQueen, yeah. Kate Smith. Everyone's in this movie.
Yeah.
Just different.
Yeah, it's like a bizarro world version of
it. It is. It's like they never knew they were in it, but they still are.
Yeah.
World. Alternate dimensions.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing it.
Multiverse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I like it.
It was 2018. I just want to throw that in there because that's the last time that you actually served me drinks out in Burbank. And
yes.
You said you were working on a script. And I was like, oh, that sounds pretty interesting. And then it wasn't until a year and a half later that we did the Kickstarter, and the rest is history. My gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Chili. That's, when you just think about it, you know, it's funny because listening to the old pods that we're releasing, and the first one we did was right after the Kickstarter 2020 during a pandemic. We're doing a podcast. And I'm like, oh, my God, that was 4 years ago.
Yeah,
it's miraculous. I mean, my whole life. I mean, you look at my IMDb, and I haven't done any acting work the last 4 years because of this movie. This is all I've been doing.
You so ask now every time I talk to you. So, I mean,
well, I do.
That's true.
But it's great because, you know, I mean, it's great in the fact that, you know, we spent so much time on it, but doing our first film for Seed Pictures, I knew it was going to be a task because, like we said in the previous pods and stuff, we kind of knew what we were doing, but we really didn't. I mean, what Jeff knows now about making a movie, you know, 4 years later is like light years from what
you knew. Well, back then it was doing a lot of research on the internet and reading and trying to relate to stuff, and said, yeah, I think that makes sense. We can do that. But then when you actually put it together and do it in practice, yeah, like everything else, it's a completely different thing. But it was definitely a learning experience. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot of things that went well, a lot of things that didn't, and set this up for the future.
Yeah, it's definitely. Well, let's
it's 4 years is a long time, but when you think about, you know, the timeline of things and the COVID and the filming and then going through the editing and getting to last year with the our little mini premiere, and then, you know, finalizing everything to get to release time. It all adds up. It's just a long process.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I think, and Axel, you probably know it. Basically 4 years, we would have been able to do it in 2 years if it wasn't for the pandemic, because we would have shot that summer of 2020 and we probably would have been done with the film by 2022. So the pandemic really slowed it down, is what. So it took 2 years off our lives,
but that's part of the process. Hey, films take time. I mean, it is. We've talked about it a million times in the pods, Heath, and in our own experience too. There's no greater art that is more difficult than filmmaking. You're recreating the world. You're not just making the music for it or a painting for it, or right? Like, you're bringing all the arts together and creating this, plus all the background of the financing and all that, you know? So I think you're right. You probably would have got it done quicker. It's kind of funny. You know, our movie Smokers, which is now, like, I shot that thing with Mike on a DV camera 23 years ago or 24 years ago, 23, because our original start date was September 12th, 2001. And we had to,
that's right.
And this guy who had given us all the equipment pulled it and everything. And then it took us another year to get equipment and get a computer and like get all that stuff again. But that's, you just do it, right? You do it for the movie, and it's in the end, look what you have, dude. You have something that's going to last a long time. But let's get back to where we left off, which was last we spoke, as Solo said, when we last left our heroes, it was after the premiere. You were searching valiantly for distribution, and eventually we know you found Gravitas Ventures, but there was obviously a journey to get there. So Solo, I know from my end, we were talking on the phone. I was standing in my Lego room and you were like, yeah, it's some, got something from Gravitas. I was like, wait, Gravitas? I know. Yeah. I've seen a lot of stuff that they've released. That's a great company. But why don't you tell us, you know, wherever you want to start going, either the searching for the distribution pre that, or how you got in touch with Gravitas, wherever you all want to go.
Yeah, I'll start it off, and then Jeff, you can kind of, you know, bring it home as you often do.
I was going to actually go reverse and let you bring it home.
Oh, all right. Well, if that's,
but let's do that. Let's mix it up.
All right. You know what, Chili? The ball is in your court. I will say this before we start. We were searching the internet for people who, like a sales agent, to get this film going so we can get distribution. So it was kind of just reaching out to people. But, you know, that's where it started. Okay, let's hit the internet.
That's right. Know? That's exactly right. And we had a preconceived notion that the internet would come to us, and that was not true. And so the search began. I'll pick it up from there. And, Axel, funny thing is, there's not a lot of companies you can find out there who want to distribute indie films. And so we were coming up against the roadblock, and we found a couple, and one was interested. They had just got back from Cannes and finally got in touch with them, and they liked the film, but it wasn't a film for them to distribute. It wasn't just their genre. So, that led into some more searching and another potential opportunity. And that went pretty far last summer and kind of hit a roadblock. And so what happened in the meantime was Heath Solo was pumping out the emails to every place he could find and saying, here's our film, or finding a website and submitting it. You know, a lot of websites have just a form that says submit your film and your information here, or show it the trailer or whatnot. And a lot of it, what looked like a lot of dead ends. And it took several months for Gravitas to actually come back to us, which was amazing, because we hit a roadblock and Heath was off traveling off in Czech Republic and having a good old time. And,
well, I don't know about a good old time. That month at Czech, there's a long story there, but
that's a different story. But from my point of view, you're having a good old time. I saw the picture.
Well, when you see five pictures on Facebook that look like I'm happy, then they go.
And so as it happens, we got a response back from Gravitas from Bill, and he said, I contacted this guy several months ago, and we just assumed it was another dead end. And it took a complete 90-degree turn from there. And the what happened since then, it's just been an amazing process. And then I'll turn it back over to you, Solo, and kind of pick up where we started communicating with Gravitas back in November, I believe it was, of last year.
Yeah, so I'll fill in some blanks. I won't mention, like, names, but we literally, like I said, I was on the internet. I submitted our film to this one company that I thought would be a good fit, and they really liked the film. They loved the trailer, because I was sending out the trailer to people. And it was like, hey, if you want to see it, see the film, let us know. We'll send you to a secure site with a password, etc. So we were with a company that was going to be our distributor. They were going to be our sales agent, and they were going to hit foreign markets and domestic. And basically for like 3 months, I want to say, we were working with them. And then all of a sudden, we were supposed to have a final meeting to sign a contract, and nothing. It was like, they ghosted us. So I was like, what the hell? So I'm like, you know what? I don't usually go in. I hadn't had my CE Films email on my phone yet. I literally was, it's one of those, because of the site, you have to go on the computer and blah, 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 and log in. So I said, let me just check it. Because in July of 2023, before we were with this other company, I had sent out probably like 20 emails to companies saying, hey, this is a, you know. And then all of a sudden, there was an email from Bill from Gravitas in there in November. And was like, hey, if you still need distribution, let me know. So I was like, well, it's perfect timing. So I emailed him back and was like, sure, yeah, you know, we'll send you the film again, whatever. And within like, well, a couple of weeks, Jeff, like they were just like, we had the meeting, and Bill was freaking amazed.
It was after several rounds of cussing you for not checking your email.
Literally. I mean, seriously.
So that's good. You filled in the blanks, and just to kind of complete the picture.
Well, I'm not shooting blanks. I'm just filling it.
Whoa.
Whoa, kid show.
Family show.
Oh, family show. Is that the new one? Family show.
So just for our audience.
What's happening?
I don't know, Axel.
You guys try. Anyway. For our audience out there, it's important to get contracts from these people and review them. And it's also good to have lawyers look at them, because it's not an industry standard wide thing, and everyone wants to try and, you know, be in their best interest. So during that process, we had our lawyers check over several things. And learned a lot from that process.
Well,
we
learned
a lot about, go ahead.
I'm sorry, because there was another company we actually did have a meeting with.
Yes.
And
I glazed over.
Yeah, that company, like, we were honestly like, well, if no one, you know, they basically said, the main guy we talked to, it's okay, we're not going to mention any name, so no one knows who this person is. But they're like, yeah, he goes, I really didn't like your film, but a lot of my staff did, so we're willing to, you know, take on your film. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, yeah, I don't really know what to do with it, but we'll just throw it out there and see what happens. He goes, sometimes in a year or two, an actor gets big and your film starts, you know, people start buying it. We'll shove it on Peacock or, you know, whatever, and we'll see what happens. And I'm like, okay. And then they sent us a contract, as Jeff was saying, and the deal was awful. They basically had no cap on what they could spend to market it. And they would take like 50% of everything. So it was basically 50% plus anything that they would do.
Unlimited. Cap. Yeah, unlimited.
Unlimited expenses. Cap. So what, you're going to say you spent up $200,000 to, you know, and we'll never see a dime? And then it was like, we contacted them, was like, is this right? And they're like, yeah, it's a bad deal, we know, but, you know, if you can't find anything, come to us. And I was like, what the hell? I'm like, okay. I'm like, do we really want to go with someone who didn't like our film? And so the next company that we were almost signed with really loved our film and he was excellent. And what happened, we found out just recently that he ended up leaving the company he worked with. And then, so that's why there was miscommunication there. It would have been nice to get an email saying, hey, I'm sorry, I left the company, but we got no correspondent, but we found out through research months later, that's what happened. So I'm going to go to the fridge and get another drink. So Jeff, bring it up.
Yeah. Nicely done. Nicely done. Yeah. So important to not just take any deal that comes your way.
Yeah.
Research it. If you have lawyers involved, have them take a look at it. Make sure you're not getting screwed over. And when it came down to the third deal through Gravitas, we looked everything over and there it kind of sealed the deal that they're a legit company. And they had all their terms and conditions lined up and everything made sense. And we only had a few couple of tidbits that we went back to them on, which they accepted. And some of that had to do with future distributions and sequels and rights to post movies and merchandising. We didn't want to let go of merchandising just because we had those t-shirts printed and we had some other ideas about how we might want to do some future marketing, and we wanted a piece of that, and they were totally on board with that. So
that was
definitely cool. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot to consider these days.
There is, and it's a new world, like we talked about with the digital stuff, and everybody we talked to straight up came out and said there's no advance, because back in the day they'd advance you, a couple thousand dollars to sign a deal, and everybody would say, oh yeah, we got some money, we're happy, and then you get totally stiffed after that. So that was another thing that was pretty interesting was. They're very the legitimate companies are very upfront about how things work these days and what they're going to do and what they're not going to do, and Gravitas was one of those that made it very clear upfront what we were getting ourselves into, and it turned out overall to be a really great deal for both sides.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I got to say Gravitas, 100%. I mean, they know what they're doing. There's a reason why they're probably the number one independent film distributor. They really sold our film. We got on 17 platforms to start. We haven't even done foreign or anything like that yet. I mean, it's kind of like the new age now, Axel, is instead of your film coming out in theaters, it's coming out on different sites streaming and you can buy or rent it. And that's kind of like, that's the ticket sales to start off. That's phase one. And that's how our film gets out there. But everyone in their homes can buy it. And then we also got a DVD and a Blu-ray release, which we didn't expect at all. We saw it in our what's called a carriage letter. They basically 30 days before the film comes out, Gravitas sent us a letter and basically, these are the platforms you're going to be on. And we noticed on the bottom, it did say, DVD Blu-ray to be determined. So I was just like, there's no way we're going to do that, physical media, but we got one.
Yeah.
And baby. I got my Blu-ray today. I
think mine's on the way. It comes tomorrow.
Oh, Oregon, I guess is last deliveries. My sister got it and my dad got it in Pennsylvania. Some family in Rhode Island, some of our listeners and good friends all over the country. So I was ecstatic that we got a physical media release. Like I did not expect that, but all in all, Gravitas has been so supportive and they've been amazing. And we are very happy with what they've done. And now we built a relationship with them. So when we do future films, there's a good chance we'll have a distributor. 'Cause I think we've been doing pretty well. I mean, literally for 5 weeks, we were available for pre-order on Apple TV, and we've been in, you know, literally the first, you know, I think we reached as high as 11 or 10. And then we were in the 20s, the teens. Then we would drop down to like 80 and then move back up to 30. And we've been in the top 50 like for 5 weeks. So I'm hoping that means people pre-ordered it.
Yeah.
And not just, I don't know. But no, it's just, it's the right time to do an independent film. Cause I know when you did Smokers, I was doing Ocean 7-Eleven web series before web series even were a thing. And I don't even know if they're a thing now. But it's just like now, the way it is with streaming and everything coming to your home so quickly, this is the right time to do an independent film.
Yeah, definitely. So what was the process? Like, what do you have to get ready? Do you have to deliver like a hard drive to them?
Copy? Oh,
Jeff,
I think he just had flashbacks of all the work he's done, because I can only do so much, but Jeff, I'll fill in some blanks, not shooting blanks. And Jeff, why don't you attack what's called, Axel, the deliverables?
Yeah,
there's a big packet of all the stuff we have to deliver to the distributor.
Yeah, so the good thing was with the previous company, we had kind of a little bit of an insight as to all the stuff that was required. And we were so close to signing with them, we actually started preparing ahead of time. And, shout out to Google Drive, because that's where we were storing all of our information. I want to discount Google. Did you hear that?
Buy the movie on Google Play, right?
Yeah, we were organizing and putting directories of information all together, because we knew that this was something that was going to happen. And this ties into, we kind of got off the subject. So it was November, and by December of last year, we started getting serious. And then it came mid-December, and we were ready to sign the deal. And they wanted all this stuff prepared for January 1st, so they could make an April distribution. And we're like, there's no way. It's the holidays, and it's too tight. And we have a lot of stuff done, but we're not quite there yet. So getting back to that, Axel, it's hard drives are still kind of a thing, but it's mostly all digital distribution into the across the internet, into different people's, whether they have box or rather proprietary file transfer sites. So your information from your distributor will detail all the different things that you need to supply. And it's from the trailer to the full feature, to all of the stock media that you have, contracts, and various other things, your copyright letter from the government. They want all this stuff delivered to them electronically. And so they have a whole team on their side that kind of monitors all that stuff and making sure that they're checking all the boxes off. So we were frantically doing that at the end of December and a little bit into January. But we actually told them that we 1/1/24 was not going to happen. And, you know, they were fine with that. They said, we'll give you a little leeway, but we still want to push for an April delivery. The beginning of January was quite frantic, actually. So we delivered what we had, and this is going to turn into a saga, but they actually they quality control everything you deliver to them. So there's two pieces of that, is your artwork and your fill of the right resolution, are all the agreements in place, your trailer, okay, your trailer has to be of a certain format, a certain quality, for us to look at it, because essentially the trailer is what gets distributed to all the different platforms. And that's what they look at before they accept it. And if you have any kind of errors in your trailer, they'll just flat out reject it, and then you're done. So one of the things that we did back in January was we did a lot of trailer work, and our boy Jim Spadoni down in Oceanside cut us a good trailer, but unfortunately it was way too long. And so we had to trust Gravitas to say, we're the experts in the industry and we know how long a trailer should be and what the content should be and how it flows. And I spent many a long nights taking what we had was an excellent trailer and trimming it down and making sure that it flowed. And all the way up to the very last day at the end of January, which was kind of the deadline to say, okay, we finally accept your trailer. And it would be a back and forth and we'd be like, hey, we found a frame that looks off. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Boy.
And they would come back and they would say, go look at this spot and look at this frame from this time code to this time code. And when actually I slowed it down and looked at it, I was like, son of a gun, I never saw that before. But we had to fix that. And I actually got on a Zoom call with the guy from Gravitas and I was like, you know, this isn't my forte. I'm doing everything I can to get you guys what you want. And I've subscribed to Adobe Premiere Pro, and I'm doing editing on my PC and on my Mac, and I'm trying to export this stuff, and which I've never done before. And we're going back and forth for several days. And finally, he showed it to me, and I was like, wow, okay, I get it now. I can fix that. And finally, that's the 1 minute and 10-second trailer that you see all over right now was a result of Gravitas kind of, you know, leading us by the hand and saying, this is exactly what you need to do to get this to where it needs to be. So now I'm a video editor.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Well, you know what? That's a lot of work, but that's good to know after having one company tell you, hey, we didn't really like the movie, to have them pushing you so hard just to have this trailer. Because they know how people, like my wife does that all the time. She'll on Amazon or whatever, just sit there, like watch trailers for things. So it really is important, you know? So that's great that they cared that much.
They did. They really did. And they were very attentive to having us make it the way that they wanted to. And same with the, now the full feature, what was nice was the full feature was pretty much, good to go. There was only a spot where there was a frame that was off, and that was a result of splicing stuff in. And the other part was the end credits, the way that they rolled and how it timed with the music and how it came to the end where we have the little tribute thing up for our friend Matt Rose. Their quality control check found all that, and they said you got to have this fixed, or else it's not going to be happening. So, again, a different gal, a different department worked with me on that, and gave us a list of things to fix, and we went in and corrected those as best we could, and recut it to their specifications, and uploaded it, and never heard back from them. And we're like, well, this is weird. Does that mean that it's all good? Or and honestly, what you're watching today on the platforms is basically my final export that I gave to them, with the exception of them throwing their Gravitas logo at the beginning. But everything else that was corrected was just a lot of drink and working with Premiere Pro late nights. In January.
Well, like they say, no news is good news, right? Remember that from the great space.
Yeah, so that's where we are. We learned a lot about the process. We learned a lot about the things that they're looking for in order to get this sold to the different platforms. And they were spot on. And you can look at the results and see all of the cable networks and the platforms that we're on, and being able to send it over to a physical media place and cut Blu-rays and be able to sell them. I'll give them a shout out. They're called Allied Vaughn. the industry leader in physical media distribution.
Nice. That? Oh.
Shout out.
Allied. That's like Miller High Life, the champagne and beers. It's kind of the same thing, right?
Star City, so, brought to you by Allied.
So Axel, let's flip that back and chalk that up to the dedication to the Chili Solo team to push this through the finish line, because we had no idea what was going to be required, and nor did we have resources to do it in the time frame that we needed to do it by. So we just hunkered down and just got her done.
That's awesome. That's all. I know it must feel so good to, you go to your TV. Have you done it on different things too? Have you gone to like watched it on Amazon, on Apple, on Google or whatever?
My daughter actually bought it on Apple on a pre-order, and I didn't know about it. Like, it showed up on my account. So I did look at it today. I have the source. I have the final output on my computers and hard drives and locked away in my safe. And I've seen it so many times. And, you know, I had to see it from an actual platform to believe it's really true.
Yeah. Yeah. I brought it up on my TV, sent Solo and the boys some pictures. I was, here it is.
Yep.
It looks great. I like the CE pictures too. All the different pictures, there's another one there too that kind of lights up. What's the second one? I like that.
That's my funding company, Bear Dog.
I like it. They both look nice and professional and clean.
Bear Dog. I always call it Beer Dog.
Oh, I like that. Beer Dog.
I get things wrong. As you know.
So
I've heard it called Beard OG. Like, you're the OG of the beards.
I like it. You also wanted to talk about the poster too, or did we kind of talk about that? Was there a separate story?
Same thing. Like Gravitas, we had the poster. Like, I had the poster done by a friend of mine, Kurt Furla. He actually used to come into my bar back in the day, and then he was from Canada. But it was a lot of animation people that used to come in from Stupid Buddy Productions, Cartoon Network. It used to always come to my bar, and a lot of great people. And that's where I met Nick Simotis, one of our executive producers, who found me Giles and Aaron RDP and Matt Gruber and Greg Cathcart and Joey Little, who did our post-production sound. So I knew he had showed me while I was, we were in during our Kickstarter, right before the pandemic hit, he was showing me the posters he did. And I'm like, oh shoot, you do movie posters. So he's in New York now, but I reached out to him. He did the poster for us, the original one with, me and Michelle with the guns and Tim and Jason and Amy. But Gravitas, and Jeff can speak to this, they were like, they wanted something more neutral for the icon of, when you're on these platforms, when people are looking to watch. So they wanted us to change the poster, and we went through so many different changes as Jeff was redoing the poster himself. Again, he taught himself to Jeff's doing everything. So when they came up with just the, me and Tim Russ on there, basically is what you see now. That was a Gravitas thing, but we led up to that as Jeff was trying to rework the poster.
Yeah,
so it was interesting. It
goes back to what we just said previously, that they really wanted to work with us and make this right, because they knew what needed to be done, and they were willing to help us with that. The original poster is awesome, but it has too many characters. It had the all of the credits at the bottom, and I just kind of forgot what those are called. And the colors. So if you look at any icon on any of these platforms for movies, they're stripped down. They're basic, just a couple of characters, very few words or logos on them. And the reason for that is because when they come up on your browser, on your phone or wherever, They need to be simple and they need to catch your eye. And so I finally understood that. And we kind of, like Heath said, we did a couple different versions and sent them back to them. We even had one that was Tim and Heath, kind of like where they are now, but there was a guy holding a knife in a shadow in the background. And I thought that was really cool. And they didn't like that.
it was cool though.
It was pretty cool. So we had a couple of, we did a kind of a black and white montage thing. And then, you know, they came back and said, your font needs to change. This is not how, you know, the fonts look as when you introduce characters on these tiny little, you know, horizontal or vertical, picture for the platforms. And I was like, okay, we've gone really far with this. We agree on the concept. Just take it from here. And they did a little bit of rework on it. They have the kind of like you're in the hallway with the overhead lights going in the background. But they did like the new redesign of the logo. We did that for them. We took out all the color and just made it white and red. And so another, you know, long collaborative effort to get to what you're seeing today. But all because they worked with us and helped and steered us in the right direction on what it should look like.
That's awesome. It's great to have that kind of support and to have people working hard to get what you made look better to everyone else out there who gets to see it. Do we want to talk about how the pre-orders, did we already talk about that? Or do we want to talk about where platforms you're on? What was our next step here, Solo?
Yeah, we talked about, you know, we were on Apple pre-order for a while. Yeah. That was the only platform that was doing it. And then Amazon, I think about a week or less than a week before the release, Amazon joined the game with pre-orders. And, you know, we don't have access to the numbers. That's all Gravitas and whatever. So it's like we get our first quarterly report this summer, I think is what it is, Jeff.
Oh, okay.
So we really don't know like how well it's doing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I'm glad because I would be checking that thing every hour as I was doing the pre-order.
Multiple
I was like,
times.
What rank? I mean, my dad was texting me, hey, we're back up to number 33, you know.
Oh, see, you and your dad were in on that, huh? You'd be texting me every day. We're at 48.
Yeah, I know.
We're at
35. Then I would text Jeff. Well, yeah. Yeah, my dad, you know, that's my dad's thing. And he just loves. I tell you, I got to give a shout out to my dad because before the movie was released, he would have like screening parties at my mom and dad's home. And they would show people the film. And they did about 10 of them where, you know, friends of it, you know, and just for that, I'm like, God, you've watched the movie 10 times. Really?
And I'm sorry. He had to watch all those bad versions of it too. Like we did.
Well, I did find one sync problem in the final output, but we'll talk about that later. A lot of people aren't catching it, but I caught it. I'm surprised
every
you
movie.
Caught it yet.
You told me that earlier today. I said, "Listen, the biggest films ever. I mean, you know, The Godfather. There's 50 different things you can point to. Like, you know, you can see the boom mic, or you can see this, or right, like the ADR sounds weird."
For over a year, there were some black bars on the sides of some stock footage of the police station, and no one ever caught it until God. Went through their QC process and said, you need to look at these frames because they don't match the other frames. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I went back and looked and I was like, I'm a bitch. They're right.
That's awesome.
I know. I mean, even down to the final credits, there were so many, like there at the premiere, at the cast and crew premiere, we realized like when we had the like actor block at the end, the credits before the scroll, that Tim Russ wasn't even in it. Tim Russ as Captain Aikman wasn't there. And we never caught it. Or, you know.
The other one was the crime scene. So we put black bars on the top and bottom of the film. That was the Giles cinematic effect. And when we spliced in some footage from our colorist, the master Jim Spadoni, we realized that at the very end that those black bars didn't align because it was a different. In Adobe, you can specify what percentage of black bars you want on top and bottom. And for some reason, that particular piece of footage was delivered with a different percentage of black bars, and I never caught it. And it was white. And so when they came back and they said, "You got to fix this," I was like, "Wow, these people really know what they're doing."
Yeah, it's like you said, Axel. Like every film has. I mean, especially like with my wife when we're watching stuff. Now that she's been a part of a, you know, feature film production and stuff, she's picking up things that, you know. Oh, she was always good with continuity, but she picks up more than ever, you know. And it's just like, I know, honey. You just got to let it go. But she's like, it's a $10 million production. How did they miss that? It happens. We're humans. Yeah. And, you know, Starbucks coffee on Game of Thrones.
And you remember have that? To. Yeah. And that's the thing is that any film, and if you think about it now in terms of streaming, they can go in and change anything at any time and just upload a new file, right? So it could be a process that never ends. And that's maddening. You have to come to a point where you say, regardless, there's no major problems. There's going to be some little errors. We have to let it go. And a lot of times not the thing you're talking about is a little technical thing, but you know, sometimes you have to make a call for a shot or a performance, or it depends on whether, you know, you have the audio or the video. You just have to make a call. And at some point you just have to say it's over, and it's over now. You guys, it's done. Whatever little error there is there, Solo, that you see, it's going to take, it's done, because they're not going to give everybody new copies. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not sending me a new Blu-ray tomorrow. Okay. They're not going to go fix it. It's done.
Yeah. It's like, sure. After you watch a film, especially, it's like, oh, what if we did this or did that or did
it's
that?
Never
and directors are like that too. Like a film is never done.
Yeah, it's obsessive. It attracts obsessive
because it's the way it is.
Yes.
And it's like, I finally had to put my foot down. I was like, listen, we have no more money to reshoot this or do this. It's done. It's done. This is our film, and we need to accept that. And we did it with, virtually no money considered what movies are made for, even independent films. We did it under a certain amount of money, and it's pretty amazing what we did for the dollar. And I hope too that as we go along with the film, people watching it and stuff, you know, maybe that's a story. Like, because I remember, you know, my big influences in the 90s, the Robert Rodriguez, the Kevin Smiths, who did these independent films on nothing. And it was like, we did this for 20 grand and, you know, this is what we got. And then they had big careers. I'm hoping that, you know, it's like, people see that, and if we can get anything from this film, I would love to do a sequel. I would love to do more films, and with a little more money, because we're gonna need more money. I mean, let's just face it. I called in so many favors for this first movie. We're definitely gonna need a lot more money, but I think the film will speak for itself. What we did, for how much we did it for, should attract investors, and, you know, probably stay in the same genre, because that's what we do. And, you know, I'd love to do a sequel, or a prequel, or, you know, a whole new movie, you know, different story, who knows? But no, I what I really want to say is, you know, a lot of times people will succeed and be like, well, you know, everyone told us we couldn't do it or whatever. I mean, it's more of a sports thing, but it's just the opposite with this. We had so much support, and so many people saying, go for it. You can do it. I mean, without that, I mean, I don't know if I would have taken the step to say, I'm going to do my own film. And we did it. And I know moving to LA and to become an actor, a lot of people were like, okay, go for it, buddy. You know, it's the hardest thing to do in the world, and it has been tough. But the amount of support we've had through this process, through the pandemic, our good friend Alex Hahn said, I was like, I don't know if I can ask people for money to, you know, even though the Kickstarter was only a small portion, I still needed to raise some money.
Yeah.
And Alex was like, dude, what a story that would be if you do raise that money during a pandemic. So I was like, and of course, Mad Girl Love Song is in the film. Alex Hahn, Missing White Girl. Yeah, shout out there. He was able to, he gave me the song. He was so like, we were communicating back and forth, and it was just so awesome to have. I miss Alex. He's such a good dude. But it's just the support we've had and the support from the two of you. I mean, Axel, you've been, when I first started talking about doing a movie, you've just supported everything. And you've been so amazing at being able to do the podcast on our DVR podcasting network, and some just in the mental support when I didn't know if I was going to have for the screening. I had people flying in. Film was going to be compatible with the theater, and I was driving from Beverly Hills over back to Burbank, and you're like, dude, it's going to work out. Everything's going to be fine. You got this. And I'm like, what do you mean? I don't know. But, you know, you've always been supportive. And of course, Jeffrey Chili Mertz, good friend of mine. And I mean, was a Kickstarter backer. And then I somehow convinced him to be part of CE Pictures and produce this film with me. But Jeff, all I'm going to say is you're the best man to work with. You're the best producing partner, and without you, this film does not get finished.
Well, you told me if I gave you $100, we'd make millions. So I don't
know what happened with that, but it's coming. Hold on, hey,
dude, that's you the donated. Next
podcast.
Let's put that out there. Jeff donated $1,000 to the Kickstarter, and was going to leave it at that. And I was like, Jesus, blown away. So I called him. I go, wow. And then next thing you know, I'm like, hey, you want part of the company? You want to? But if it wasn't for you, I mean, we learned so much through this process. If it wasn't for you, I mean, we did it together, man. We went through so much shit over 4 years.
And, we did. And I want to shout that out to you, because you're an actor and you're not a businessman. And you're not, well, you weren't a producer, but you are now.
Right, right.
It's to do this by yourself is an incredible feat. So I'm honored to have worked with you and be able to join forces and you know, combine our brain power and be able to pull this off, because I can't imagine one person doing that.
Yeah, all. I thought I could, and then but your business sense is really what really helps me, because it's just like, you know, you talk about a perfect relationship where people like Tom Cruise said and Jerry Maguire, you complete me. When it comes to this, Jeff does, because there were things that I didn't really know about and that you set me aside and go, listen, you know, I mean, because I'm like, we can do this for 50 grand. We can do this for 50 grand. And you're like, I don't know about that, homeboy. But you let me. Like, even though you knew the answer to certain things, you let me go through it and then be like, you know what? You're right. We're not going to, you know, like, okay, but I have a plan. Like, it's just like you let me kind of get my sea legs and do things, but you knew some of the answers. But you had such a great way of very rare do you coexist with someone where times could be tough or you reach a brick wall, but we didn't fight, we didn't argue, we worked together. And it's like my marriage, same thing. I mean, it's just been amazing. Like, you were there and we worked through everything. So
You did, but you're a terrible spooner. So I'll say that.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Too my much Tahoe vodka.
You know what?
Too much Tahoe vodka.
You know what? I just want to just backtrack just a tiny bit. There's people who make films or say, you're going to make a movie. Oh, that's great. But there's certain phases of the movie where you can film it and you can have it on digital on your camera and say, yeah, this is great. Look what I did, you know, post-graduate school or whatever. And then there's the part where you can have a film where it's ready to be seen by the public. And then there's the part where it's ready to be distributed to the world. And those are, it sounds the same, but those are different phases that people may or may not understand who are listening to this pod, that there's a lot of work that goes into it. Just, hey, a bunch of friends went out to the woods and shot a movie. It goes far beyond that to actually get it to a point where we're seeing it now on Amazon and Apple and Vudu, Google, Microsoft, YouTube, all the other different places that go with it. And the only way to get there is through, you know, what we went through with determination and, you know, looking for the end result and seeing it through to the really the final completion. Where studios actually show it in movie theaters. This is the end. We did it. We got this far. It's done. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. No, but you're right. There's so many different things that we had no clue about to get this film ready, whether it's contracts, whether it's, like you said, the different versions of the film, different, you know, there's so much that I'm like, oh my God, that normal big movies would, they pay people to do this stuff. We did it on our own. And I'm still amazed that we were able to do what we did, you and I, at the end here, because this last year was constant. It's just stuff, new stuff we had to do. I remember even when we were talking to that one sales agent was like, this is going to be kind of hell for you guys, but get it done and you'll be, you know, and he wasn't lying.
No, he wasn't. And when the end of February came and everything kind of died down, I was like, I think this is it. I think we're finally done.
Oh,
and then we got our carriage letter in early March, and I was like, yeah, this is for real. This is happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you see it on Apple for pre-order. I'm like, oh, I guess it's done. I guess because we constantly have having to do stuff that was such a relief.
Yep.
That it's finished. It's done.
You guys did it.
And now, you know.
That's awesome. I know, was that the shout out portion? Is there anyone in particular you all wanted to shout out while we're here? Or?
That wasn't. That was just the end of the production cycle.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't know what else was on the agenda.
You have some shout outs.
Yeah,
I have a ton of shout outs to Axel and the DVR Podcast Network and everybody who supported us throughout the years, the Kickstarter people, most importantly, the family and friends, our wives, that have gone through this with us, who are like, is this ever going to get done? You know, we'll leave the money aside. We won't talk about that. you know, all that cast and crew, and we've said this before, but honestly, the cast and crew worked for peanuts. They really pulled off a great job. We're Tim Russ, shout out to you. We're promoting you because, you know, you're our Gerard Butler, as Heath would say. And, you know, we've got a lot of negative feedback about how we don't have, you know, the right kind of cast and the right kind of star power. And
we're not going to
move the needle and this isn't going to go anywhere, but. You know, honestly, the cast, they were committed to the film and they loved the script and they worked with us through the pandemic and they came back and they followed up with us and they still do today. It's just been amazing that such a small budget film can have such support from the cast.
Yeah, I'm gonna hit on that just a little bit.
Go ahead.
The whole move the needle, like, yeah, and that was kind of the thing when we were getting the film out there, was like, yeah, your cast isn't gonna move the needle, meaning like, yeah, we don't have a Gerard Butler to be able to sell the movie right away. And it was like, you know, we were all excited when we got Tim Russ and, you know, with this, you know, I mean, what a great actor and what a career he's had. But I will honestly, and that's the one thing I think Gravitas actually didn't say about moving the needle. They loved our cast, and I will go to the mattresses for our cast. Because, yeah, maybe we're all, I mean, including myself, we're not big names in Hollywood. But you know what? The freaking acting is superb in this film. And, you know, the professionalism, and everyone in this film should be either have their own series or be working professionally every day. I mean, they're freaking awesome. And so, granted, I know maybe the star meter isn't high enough or whatever for the whole cast, and it doesn't move the needle. But you know what? I think when people see this, they're going to be like, wait. And then next thing you know, we're doing another film and we have some of these cast members that are in the new film and be like, oh, wow, you got this person. You know,
they're just
on the cusp of becoming big. So,
yeah,
just wanted to say that.
That's awesome. Yeah. You guys have had a lot of support. And I think that's because from the very beginning, you're just authentic about wanting to make a great, fun movie that people can be a part of the production and creation of. And with the podcast and the Kickstarter, you're able to accomplish that. And even me just seeing like on Facebook or whatnot, people chiming in and writing, hey, oh, so, you see, it's just people from your lives, people from your professional life, your personal life. People just want to support you. And I mean, I had no doubt back in the day when you told me you were starting up, I told you the whole time, I had no doubt, even though a movie is until it's actually out, which now it is, guys, right? Here we are. It's just a dream, right? Like, people have shot entire films, edited them, and just no one ever sees it. And you had the opportunity, you've seen it all the way to the end. Or is it the end? What's the next steps? What happens now? Now that it's out, what do you do?
No, that's you summed it up great, Axel. There's a lot of stuff that's shot and all the way through, and then no one ever sees it or hears about it. Or you see it on people's IMDb's and it's never been distributed.
Yeah, you can't even find it.
So
yeah.
So we got to the finale there. We crossed the rope. We beat Usain Bolt, man. You crossed the finish line.
Oh, what a shout out there. I referenced.
Well, the Olympics are coming up.
Yeah. Hey, let's get Usain Bolt in a film. Oh, to see him run.
The Olympics come to Star City.
Oh, there's Star City Olympics. There's a murder during the Olympics.
Theme, right? I like it.
Thanks for that, Axel. What's next? We think that there might be a phase two distribution, which might include advertised VOD. Right now it's all paid. Of course, there's international, depending on how things work out. We mentioned previously we had a company that was that had a lot of international connections, but this one that we signed with Gravitas, they're pretty much North America, but it could expand to international. We'll have to see what happens with the, the physical media. And honestly, I think depending on how this plays out is going to kind of influence us, you know, where we go next. Are we going to do a sequel, a prequel? Or are we just going to call it good? And we've had good success. And we're going to take our success and move on to something else. It's hard to say right now, but we're not done. CE Pictures is not over by any
stretch. We just may move states, but other than that,
yeah.
That's awesome. And,
yeah, we're just hoping, you know, people will see this film and we can, you know, get some interest to get some funding to do another. You know, like Jeff was saying, it's, you know, the next step is probably after about, like, I guess about 3 months, it'll probably go to, I don't know if it'll go to a Tubi or stuff like that, where ad based, and then hopefully find a streaming home for it, like a Netflix or a Peacock or a Paramount Plus. That's potential. And then, like Jeff said, the foreign markets, whether Gravitas does that or we go with someone else to help us do that, I don't know. So hopefully, because the company we were working with, foreign sales seemed to be the first thing they were going to do, then domestically. Hmm. So that was interesting. So I don't know. So now we've gone North America first. So hopefully we'll get some interest so we can get this film worldwide, because guys like Gareth and Tariq and our fellas and ladies in the UK and Australia and all, you know, they want to see the film too. So hopefully we get it out there for them.
That's a whole nother world too. And, you know,
yeah,
this type of film is popular around the world. That's something that people click on, you know,
and especially Eastern Europe.
Yes.
I know the Czech Republic, my wife's native homeland.
Yeah.
This is the type of show this type of movie that would do really well there. Oh, so I want to get it there fast in Germany. And so,
well, I heard.
I forgot about Turkey.
Oh, what's that, Jeff?
Turkey. We got to make our two turkey in Turkey.
Turkey.
That's a joke, Axel. You didn't hear from about 6 months ago. We could sell this movie in Turkey for $2,000, and we would be ecstatic. and they would take it and they would cut it and redo it and subtitle it and change everything around. Oh, yeah,
do like those fake Star Wars that they do, right?
Yes, that's exactly.
Awesome. Well,
but we can say, hey, we sold it in Turkey.
That's awesome.
Hey.
It is cool to have all these, you know, it gets confusing, I know, for the layperson of all the streaming services and cable and this and that. But for something like this, it provides so many opportunities, right? And you have that in international as well, where you could end up being carried in different places and some, you know, they end up putting you on the front on the splash page, and then all of a sudden, you know, half of frickin' Turkmenistan is like huge Heath Sentazo fans. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, I'll take it.
They're walking around with Star City t-shirts.
This guy was walking around with his t-shirt says, "I'm huge in Japan."
Yeah. That's always the dream.
Hey, if all of a sudden the Czech Republic, you know, hey, come on. I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know, you guys want to fund a movie for us? Let's do this.
And on the back of his shirt, it said, "Watch Bikini Car Wash."
Hey, it's a good movie. It's good.
There you go.
Bikini Car Wash.
See another.
I've come a long way since Bikini Car Wash.
Oh, all right, guys. Well, this has been fantastic. I don't know. Is there any? We've reached the end of the notes. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up? We covered so much. This has been so fun. It's like a celebration. I should have got another beer when the sound went out. I only had one, but maybe I'll have one after.
I've had several. Whatever. I have a lot of things. I got,
you know, you always can, and we can talk some more, and you can cut and edit it as you like.
Well,
the rest of the
night. I've had a Peroni, a shot of vodka. I've had two 25-ounce classic colas, Bud Light Hard Seltzer.
Nice.
I'm not drunk. No, I'm just having fun.
There you go.
And then I'll go on my quest tomorrow. No booze again. I did 100 days, and now another 100 days. Well, my birthday's coming up in May, so that might work out too well.
Might just be about 30 days this time.
Yeah, it might be about 30 days.
There you go.
But no, I want to say that we'll be releasing, again, we have some older pods still to put out there. Yep. We have the Chili and Solo drunk pod we did together. That, yeah, we were pretty hammered.
That's not out there yet?
No, that one hasn't been released yet.
Oh, yeah,
that one's going to be a fun one.
That was fun.
I don't, I'm afraid to listen to that one, but we'll have that. We'll have a few more. And then we're going to start after. So this is, of course, coming out to you guys now. And then we'll go back. We have three more episodes to release. And then the next pod I'm going to host is our musical. Not Star City Murders, the musical, but our composer, Chris McNamee, and Matt Murdock, our musical consultant.
Yes.
I'm going to do a pod with them. Nice. Talk about the music and how that evolved. And then we're going to start having some cast and crew on as well. So we're going to have plenty of podcasts throughout the summer, celebrating our venture and our finished film.
Awesome. Awesome. Any last words for you, Jeff?
Well, April 16th from now on is Star City Day. And that's, I coined that yeah. From Axel from Facebook.
Oh man,
that is today.
It's also forever. My sister's and my brother-in-law's wedding anniversary. So Star City Day goes with their anniversary. I'll never forget it.
All right. And we'll never forget this day we've had together talking about the release of Star City Murders, which you can get anywhere. Go, just look it up. Google it, folks. It's everywhere. You can't miss it. But we'll also have some stuff in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening. Next week, we'll be back with, I think, another episode from the vaults. And
Episode 6.
Yeah, but this is a special one.
I forget what 6 is. But I know the Jeff Heath drunk post-production pod will be one for the ages. So,
do I have that? Did you ever send that to me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's there.
Oh, okay.
Episodes 6, 7, and 8 are there. You have those. It's just been a while since we listened to them. So okay, they should be fun.
Yeah, let me check. I'm checking what the...
live on the pod.
I'm on the page right now, so I can tell you what's coming up.
Oh, yeah. Tell everyone what's coming up.
The next one is Production Diary. That's when it's just me and you. Then okay. Number 7 is the post-production. Oh, that's the one. Okay.
That's Heath is the drunk joined one.
By Jeff Chili Mertz. That's you, Jeff. Then number 8, VIP screening and distribution. That's just me and you. And then we're at this podcast, which actually is released before that one, though it's after that one.
Right.
Yeah.
So we did a flash forward, folks.
We did a flash forward to Alcatraz Island. All right. Thanks, Jeff. Thank you, Heath. This is so exciting. Once again, seriously, congratulations to everyone that's involved. This is, I know what a long process it can be, and you all should feel really good. It looks great. I was just watching on Apple. It was popped right in there for me. I go to Apple TV. Boop. Didn't even have to go to Apple TV Plus. It was right there for me on the home screen. Ooh. Waiting. And tomorrow I'll get my my Blu-ray, and everyone else do the same. So keep it alive in Star City, baby. What's our Star City outro, Solo?
I like that. Stay safe in Star City.
stay safe in Star City. Who are you? My mother?
Hey, let's not talk about the hair wax.
I'll be tasting this hair wax.